You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
And with that, we head out on the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. 1212 S. Penn joining us. Scooney, how you living, buddy?
What's up, man? I'm good. How you guys doing?
We're hanging in there. We took on a task this week, frankly, because we have no live sports, and I was piqued by the – and, buddy, I missed the Final Four. I missed Sweet 16. I missed the Elite Eight. It's my favorite – Sweet 16 is my favorite weekend of hoops of the year. So missing that big time. And we tried to put together a Mata Holtman team, and I was texting you about this earlier in the week. We limited it to 10 players. I'm going to tell you the guys that ended up making it based on Twitter poll and then our ballots. So the lead guards – were Mike and Kraft with D'Angelo on the outside looking in. The wings were Evan, Deebs, Buford, Deshaun. Kata were in with Dave Lighty on the outside looking in. And the bigs were Odin, Sully, and TD. Do you have any umbrage to take with any of that, sir?
Yes. Maybe two of them. Because how do you keep Dave Lighty out? Lighty probably won more games than anyone. I think he was a heart and soul. I mean, defensively, he did everything. So I would have to have Dave Lighty in the wings for sure. And, you know, I think we went back and forth with this one as far as the lead guard. I love all of them. But to my liking, I would go D'Angelo Russell over Conley. And I understand Conley went to the Final Four and they won a bunch of games, did a lot. But his supporting cast was unbelievable. But the year that Russell had, what he did with that team and how he took them and he made first team everything, it's hard for me to leave him off. So I guess I would go Russell and Kraft because there's no way. I don't care if Kraft wasn't, you know, a lottery pick. There's no way you take Kraft off that at all. And Dave Lighty makes that list. And if there's one I have to take off, tough, but I think I would go Lighty for Deshaun Thomas because of what Lighty brings to the table for any team he was on. Did a lot of things that didn't show up in the box scores that people overlooked, but Lighty was the glue to a lot of those teams. So those are the two changes I would make right there.
Scooney, when you hear those names, doesn't it – what it did for me was say, goodness, you forgot how good we had it here at Ohio State under Thad.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? When you hear those names, and Bo and I had talked about it, I know Calipari wasn't at Kentucky during the beginning of some of that run and all that because we were getting a lot of big-time recruits, but Thad had it rolling. And you, I mean, I got here in 05. So my first kind of year paying attention to the basketball team was when Mike and Greg Oden made the run, you know, after with Daquan Cook as well on that team. And that's kind of when I started paying attention to the basketball team. And I was spoiled. I mean, I came from Minnesota. I had no idea about anything Buckeye basketball. And I was like, oh, they have it going on just like football does. Sweet. And I did not know, like, the history before. But just talk about the job that Thad did and then what Coach Holtman has done kind of keeping it going and how spoiled we've had it as Buckeye fans.
Yeah, you know, that era was unbelievable. From the, what is it, 06, 07 through the, what, 15, 16 year, I think it was. It was unreal with the amount of talent that was coming through Columbus. And we left out guys that were first-round draft picks, like, you know, like B.J. Mullins and Costa Koufos. And there was so many good players that came. But you're right. At the time, if you look at what was going on in college basketball, Ohio State benefited from, I think, a lot of teams being down. Kentucky wasn't Kentucky yet. You know, Michigan, the team up north went through what they went through. Was hard for those guys to get recruits. Indiana was up and down. So Ohio State benefited from everyone around us. They were up and down. And then he just remained steady, and Thad was able to just get all the talent in here and win a ton of games. And it's hard that none of his teams won a national championship. I think about it all the time that how Ohio State does not have a national championship title in the last 20 years when there were a lot of really good teams, but just couldn't get over the hump. I do think it's in the horizon. Another Final Four trip, you know, Coach Holtman does an excellent job recruiting. He does an excellent job with the players. He's one of the best coaches I've ever seen. as far as orchestrating the practice and how he gets the job done and how much time you get. If he has an hour, that hour is going to be worth it, and he's going to get everything he needs to get done that hour. It was just a pleasure to see that. And, you know, we missed a lot with what's going on. Unfortunately, missed the NCAA tournament, which is a very fun target time of the year. But, you know, I think the future looks good.
You know, Schoon, we were talking about this, and just to kind of articulate this for the fans out there, because I don't know if you really understand what happened, but from 06 through 2011, Ohio State's worst recruiting class. Now, 09, they couldn't take anybody because the roster was full. But from 06 to 11, the worst class they had was the sixth best class in the country. The classes were ranked second, fifth, fifth, third, sixth. During that run. And you think about how difficult that is. That's recruiting at a Carolina, Kansas, Kentucky, Duke now go 1-2-1-2. But that's recruiting in the top six in the country for a 5 or 6 year period. I don't know that you'll ever see that again. I don't know if that's possible. You and I have gone back and forth many times about what the ceiling of an Ohio State program can be. I'm with you. I think it's crazy we haven't won a national title since 1960, considering the infrastructure in the state. If you were, and you've witnessed that, and you worked with that, and you worked with Chris Holtmann and his staff, if you're building that program, what's the model? What do you try to build it like to reach a level to where you can get to Final Fours and eventually win one?
Well, think about it. The years you just mentioned, right, the state of Ohio had talent.
Yeah.
So I think in order to do that, your state has to produce the talent. And lately it's been okay, but in that time, although Odin and Conley are not from Ohio, you had Dave Leidy and Daquan Cook that were a part of that, and those guys were from Ohio. You had Aaron Kraft from Ohio, Jared Sullinger. Evan Turner's not from Ohio, but he has Ohio ties, which made it easier for him to come here. Just look down the line. Costa Kufis and B.J. Mullins, all the guys in his team. D'Angelo Russell's not from here, but I think that's the key. Your state is the most important. If your state is strong, and this is especially for a school like Ohio State, if you're Kentucky, it's different. But the state of Ohio, if your state is strong and you get your main guys in your state and then you go out and add a couple pieces, that's the recipe. Schools cannot do it like Duke can do it. Ohio State football can do it. They can go anywhere. Duke basketball can go anywhere. Kentucky go anywhere. And Kansas go anywhere. That's what they do. But I think for a basketball program like Ohio State, I think it starts at the heart, and that's your state, getting the best player in your state every year. Then you have to. Then you start to have something.
Schoony, what's the biggest difference been for you coaching college versus the NBA game? Just the guys, the I don't know if it's how you handle relationships, but heck, when I think coaching in college, I think, gosh, development, right? You're turning boys into men.
Yeah.
You're total encompassing pros. They're getting paid, right? You know, they're it's a job. What has been the main difference for you as you've been on both sides now?
Yeah, the main difference for me is the fact that the NCAA has so many rules. They handicap you from really spending a lot of time with the players and developing them on the court. On the pro level, we can spend as much time as we want. And for me, I find that it's fascinating. I mean, we want to develop kids and get them better in college, but then you give us rules to where you can only work with them for a couple hours a week in the summertime. And some of that goes into team workouts and lifting weights. So you'd want to have more individual time to guys work on their craft and help develop them, but you can't. But in the league, I have a great opportunity. Like every day, I get to work with the guards, and we get in the court and we work on drills. We talk about ball. We work on different, you know, things of their game. And it might be a half an hour, might be 20 minutes, someday might be an hour, but you have that opportunity. I feel the NCAA need to loosen up on some of the rules and allow these kids to work with the coaches a little more closely than you can now, and I think you'll see better results.
Schooner, I'll get you out of here on this one, buddy. This would have been Final Four weekend. I was blessed enough to be able to with Dom and you, and you went, we went the whole way through with you in 2012, but the Buckeyes went to the Final Four. And I contend that when you follow a team to a Final Four, it's the most magical, one of the more magical things in sports, because it's like almost like a carnival that goes from one place to the next, like a traveling circus of just pure joy. You played in one. What was that like for you, and where does that stack up in terms of the most fun you've had in your life?
I mean, it was amazing. You know, like you said, that run, every game, every weekend, it just grows and it gets bigger and bigger. And, you know, growing up being a ball player, you dream about making a Final Four. So for me, it still ranks up there at the top. It's one of the best. And it wasn't so much the Final Four game. It was leading up to it. All the momentum and that winning that Elite Eight game against St. John's was just amazing. Like, I get chills thinking about that, just because when that buzzer went off, we realized we were going to the Final Four, you know, everyone was going crazy. You know, the mixed emotions of just crying. I couldn't wait. I didn't know what to do, so I ran up in the crowd to go hug my mom, because she knew this was something that I watched as a kid. You know, NCAA tournament was around. Everyone watches it. I couldn't wait to get out of school, to go home and just watch it on TV all day, and to be a part of it and make it to the Final Four was just something I dreamt about, and, you know, something I will never, ever forget.
Yeah, and you'll have it forever. You're in one shining moment, buddy. That's a pretty good thing, my friend.
But they don't have our banner up, Bo. That's the bad thing. They won't have no banner.
Hey, I got a big problem with that. You and I have talked about that a lot. I think that stuff is absurd. To do that, to act like you guys had anything to do with that at all. I mean, I just think it's nuts they don't have that banner up there. I think you hang banners for Final Fours, and everybody here saw it. You know, I got a problem with that. I've said that many, many times. You and I have talked about it. I feel the same way about the Michigan guys, the Fab Five guys. It's ridiculous to act like that didn't happen, to not acknowledge those kids and what they did and what you guys did in 98. Appreciate you, buddy. Best to the family.
Hey, take care, guys.